If you wish to be free from sorrow, you must stop running away and be aware of it without judgment, without choice. You must observe it, learn about it, know all the intimate intricacies of it. If you cry out of self-pity, your tears have no meaning because you are concerned about yourself. If you are crying because you are bereft of one in whom you have invested a great deal of affection, it was not really affection. When you cry for your brother who dies, cry for him. It is very easy to cry for yourself because he is gone. Apparently, you are crying because your heart is touched, but it is not touched for him. It is only touched by self-pity, and self-pity makes you hard, encloses you, makes you dull and stupid. Suffering perverts and distorts the mind. Suffering is not the way of truth, to reality, to God, or whatever name you like to give it. We have tried to ennoble suffering, saying it is inevitable, it is necessary, it brings understanding, and all the rest of it. But the truth is that the more intensely you suffer, the more eager you are to escape, to create an illusion, to find a way out. So it seems to me that a sane, healthy mind must understand suffering and be utterly free from it. And is it possible? Please listen. You condemn the state you are in. Your mind is opposing it. Discontent is a flame that must be kept burning brightly and not be smothered by some interest or activity that is pursued as a reaction from the pain of it. Discontent is painful only when it is resisted. A man who is merely satisfied without understanding the full significance of discontent is asleep. He is not sensitive to the whole movement of life. Satisfaction is a drug, and it is comparatively easy to find. Contentment and discontent are like the two sides of one coin. To be free from the ache of discontent, the mind must cease to seek contentment. Can one remain with that pain? Can I look at that pain, hold it as a precious jewel, not escape, not suppress, not rationalize it, not seek the cause of it, but hold it as a vessel holds water? Hold this thing called sorrow, the pain, that is. I have lost my son, and I am lonely. Not to escape from that loneliness, not to suppress it, not to intellectually rationalize it, but to look at that loneliness. Understand the depth of it, the nature of it. It would be marvelous if you could understand sorrow. Most of us have sorrow in different forms. In relationship, in the death of someone, in not fulfilling oneself and withering away to nothing, or in trying to achieve, trying to become something and meeting with total failure. And there is the whole problem of sorrow on the physical side. Illness, blindness, incapacitation, paralysis, and so on. Everywhere there is this extraordinary thing called sorrow, with death waiting round the corner. And we do not know how to meet sorrow, so either we worship it, or rationalize it, or try to run away from it. Go to any Christian church and you will find that sorrow is worshipped. It is made into something extraordinary, holy. And it is said that only through sorrow, through the crucified Christ, can you find God. In the East, they have their own forms of evasion, other ways of avoiding sorrow. And it seems to me an extraordinary thing that so very few, whether in the East or in the West, are really free of sorrow. It would be a marvelous thing if in the process of your listening, unemotionally, not sentimentally, to what is being said, you could really understand sorrow and be totally free of it, because then there would be no self-deception, no illusions, no anxieties, no fear, and the brain could function clearly, sharply, logically. And then, perhaps one would know what love is.